Music to the ears of Alderman Brendan Riley. He's heard a thing or two about this bucket boy music from his constituents. We have Alderman Brendan Riley here, the official alderman for the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis. Justin Kaufman is here. We want to get to the street musicians in a little bit, but I first want to ask you, Alderman Riley, President Pro Tem of the City Council, congratulations.
Thank you.
About the first city council meeting for our new mayor and the showdown between sort of the old guard, Alderman Burke, and the new mayor, and what we saw there, and it seemed like a moment in history for Chicago, and I want to ask you what message you think, what do you draw from that, and what should we all draw from that?
I think to borrow a baseball analogy, I thought that was a very well-thrown brushback pitch by the mayor. And I think she's the first mayor in 50 years to do that.
Longest serving, most powerful alderman for so long, and still he sort of, you know, sort of brought up like a Robert's Rule of Order thing to kind of interrupt the flow of things. And she struck back at him pretty hard, saying, "When I want to hear from you, I'll call on you." Have you ever heard that type of exchange with Alderman Burke?
No, I haven't. And, you know, we've got a very different kind of mayor now. And it was in full display yesterday. You know, she's been having some difficulty with Alderman Burke. There's been rumors at City Hall that he was working to put together the loyal opposition, all these sorts of things. And she needed to make a statement, I think, to set the tone for the next 4 years and to establish herself as the one who's going to be running City Council.
There was talk going into that meeting that there would be some resistance to her committee chairs, to her whole agenda, and there would be some sort of council wars, potentially, and allies lining up against this mayor. You didn't see that.
No, and I don't think you're going to see that happen. I think she's done a good job reaching out to members of the City Council. Obviously, it's going to take her some more time to get to know us better. But, again, I think that so far, I've been very impressed with how Mayor Lightfoot has been handling all of this.
So many great stories about when Mayor Emanuel took over and he had meetings with the aldermen to sort of set the tone of what he wanted. In your early days with Mayor Lightfoot, what have the conversations been like? Your meetings and what she expects from you as and your role at City Council, but also just what you expect from her.
What's really refreshing with this mayor is that she wants the City Council to be in a more effective body and a better partner in governance. And so there's been a lot of rebalancing of committee budgets. We've had very substantive conversations about what should these committee staff be doing. And for a long, long time, folks that worked on these committees were connected in one way or another. They weren't necessarily subject matter experts. And Mayor Lightfoot wants these committee staffs to be filled with professionals who can help us as a council make better decisions and look at best practices in other cities and maybe replicate some of those things here. Today, we don't have that kind of substantive help. And so that's something that she's already helping with. In my role as President Pro Tem, for example, the Legislative Reference Bureau is under me. This is a body that is supposed to be drafting all the legislation for members of the City Council. For years, no one used that office because they didn't have faith in the quality of the work product. I want to professionalize that office and bring in talented young lawyers to do good work for us.
And use gender-neutral pronouns.
Of course, that's important to Chairman Burke.
We didn't know that until just yesterday, but apparently it is.
Yeah, but I mean, and it's not just Legislative Reference Bureau, the Budget Committee, having actual appropriations analysts who are spending the entire year looking at departmental budgets and looking for efficiencies and better ways of doing business. These are the kinds of things the mayor wants our council to have so we can be better partners for her.
She's big on transparency, streaming the committee meetings so that everyone can access them on the city website. I don't know that anyone would, but it's at least the idea of that sort of helps boost some sort of understanding that people are watching.
Well, the streaming the committee hearings, that was actually an initiative that Alderman Smith and I pushed forward a few months ago. It was in the last few months of the Emanuel administration. It was amazing the amount of pushback we got from the old guard loyalists about televising or at least broadcasting these committee hearings. We had to use parliamentary procedure to push that vote through. So I'm glad that this mayor is embracing the new ordinance, and she'll be funding the technology we need to make that happen.
There was a great article in ProPublica that McDumkey did and the fine people working over there about what happens in these committee meetings that we're not even privy to, that were a lot of it was closed door.
That's
a lot
right.
of it was real rudimentary stuff and a lot of stuff that we would as taxpayers go, wait a second, what are we doing here? So it is a very big story that these are going to be streamed.
Yeah, that is true transparency. And I think if the general public were tuning into these committee hearings, I'm hoping at least members of these committees would show up on time, participate in debate, actually vote with a quorum, the things taxpayers are looking for, right? So I'm hoping it'll at least improve attendance and the substance of the committee hearing, but also it gives people a chance from work or at home, if they want to, and not everyone's going to want to, tune in on a particular issue that's important to them.
What about aldermanic prerogative? Because that was something her very first day in office, hours after her inauguration, she started to, she had an executive order starting to limit the powers of aldermen, and now she's talking about zoning. Doesn't belong in the hands. Now, it doesn't belong in the hands of individuals. Aldermen, that you can't have 50 different sets of rules. The alderman pushback is, I've heard, is that we know what's going on in our ward, we know what's right for our ward, and we know what our citizens, we're most in touch with the people of our ward.
Yeah.
Is there a balance there? Something's going to be struck there? Because city council, ultimately, you have to vote on this.
That's right. I mean, zoning is mostly covered by ordinances that we pass through committee and by the city council. All the big skyscrapers downtown are regulated by their own custom-tailored zoning, which is an ordinance. So taking that us out of that process, I think, would be difficult. I agree with Mayor Lightfoot that there's a lot of room for reform and limiting, I think, some aldermanic power that's been abused over the years. I'm all for that. But I'll need to better understand mechanically how she would go about separating aldermen from the zoning process. You're right. Each ward handles zoning differently. Some aldermen deputize a citizens committee to vote yes or no on projects. I don't. Downtown here, we host big town hall meetings. 900 to 1,000 people show up and fill a ballroom to look at these plans. And we sit through 3-4 hour meetings just taking notes, taking down concerns about different aspects of these proposals. There's a lot of give and take, and of course, a lot of negotiating goes on after those big public meetings to get these projects right. But if you look at all the open green space along the river, by River Point and the big Tuning Fork building, those parks didn't happen by mistake. Those parks were built by those developers because I negotiated across the table from them and made those demands.
You wouldn't be able to do that in a new era?
Well, again, it depends on, you know, what flavor of prerogative reform we're looking at when it comes to zoning. But if it were the most extreme form, I wouldn't really have a reason to be hosting a big community meeting to present projects and to negotiate if some bureaucrat in City Hall is going to make the decision for the neighborhood. And so that is a particular issue I think is going to require a little bit more conversation.
You're a regular on the show. You've been on. It's amazing to see how the 42nd Ward has changed in the last 10 years. It's become a residential area. To a vantage point that we're at, where you can used to be all office buildings and people would leave. This is now every other building around here is residential. Does that change your job? Meaning that it used to be to make sure that the business community and these skyscrapers were taken care of. Now you have residents. Now you have people that want quality of life and bike paths.
They don't want bikes on the riverwalk. Either.
Like
they're telling
that,
you that because they're getting mowed over.
That's true. They are. No, that's a big part of my job. And in a lot of cases, when you're negotiating a big complex development, some of the community benefits actually help us address quality of life concerns in the neighborhood. I always look at this as obviously we want to continue to promote economic development and build our city, literally, expand the tax base. That's great, too. But these developers, they have a vested interest in the neighborhood being successful because they're investing hundreds of millions of dollars in this new building. So, yeah, they want to sit down and help me solve traffic problems, create new green space. Their tenants will want that, too. So it's not all, you know, dictatorial. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. It's helping the developer understand this is good for everybody, including you. And then, again, depending on the scope and size of the project, they have more discretionary money built into their budget to help deliver things like parks and new sidewalks and things like that.
Ultimately, the mayor, what she's trying to do, and I think she has citizens on her side when she says this and when she attempts to do this, as she attempts to do this, is to eliminate opportunities for public politicians and public figures to profit from their role. And so that's what it seems like she's trying to do with some of these proposals. Can you really do that? Can you ever accomplish that in Chicago?
Look, I think it's worth trying. Public figures shouldn't profit from their jobs. We work for you. And a number of my colleagues have outside employment, and in some cases, it's in direct conflict with their duties as aldermen.
Right.
So I'm all for...
Should they be full-time jobs?
Sorry?
Should they be full-time jobs?
They could be. I think in some case you'd have to then look at compensation and all that. No one wants to give a politician a raise, right? And so that's kind of the trade-off. But I think it is reasonable to limit the kinds of work aldermen do. That's the deal. You want to run for this position? Fine. These are the things you can't do as an alderman because it's going to get you in trouble. It's going to take you off course. Right. So I'm all for ratcheting that down big time.
Right.
But just taking away aldermanic decision making in key processes, I don't know that that solves the problem. It may, in fact, create other unintended problems. But I'm committed to working with this mayor to do the very best I can to help her advance her ethics agenda.
Alderman Riley, will you hang on just for a minute here?
Sure.
We're going to break for a second, and then I want to ask you about a couple of things. You've got some limits on street music or musicians you're trying to propose.
Who's
and then also
complaining about the Bucket Boys?
Who isn't?
Hang on. And then we also want to talk restaurant tax, which your district is already dealing with, but now there's this vast expansion that's being proposed. We're going to talk about that. Alderman Brendan Riley is here. Let's check in with Kim Gordon, though, find out what's coming up top of the hour in the news.
R&B singer R. Kelly facing new sex-related charges in one of the cases against him.
It's the Rokan Show with me, Anna DeBlantis. Rose off today. We've got Justin Kaufman in studio. We've got Alderman Brendan Riley in studio.
That's
and this
him.
Is a familiar sound
that's
in your... was that you?
Playing.
Can you play
that's
the
Alderman
buckets?
Riley,
how
right
are
now.
You on the buckets, Alderman
I
Riley?
Brought my bongos. And I'm not bad, am I?
Nice. So they call them street musicians. It's kind of a loosely held term, I would say. But they're banging the buckets, and the people in your ward, they're not loving it, especially late at night.
Well, no. And it's, you know, to be honest, it's actually even more an office worker issue.
Oh.
Our friends at Crane Chicago Business, they're frequent callers to complain. They're trying to put it together a newspaper, and they've got the buckets downstairs. Yes, this is an issue that we literally have received thousands of complaints about.
But for years, this is such a cyclical story.
Yeah.
This is a story I've
been around
Mayor
for
Daley.
Years.
This is something that's like you're worried about those buckets bouncing off those buildings
it
and
amplifies.
People complaining about it for years.
Look, I mean, say what you want about my predecessor, Alderman Nateris.
We will.
We do.
he worked on this issue 15 years before I showed up. So this thing is not new. And it drives people crazy having to listen to percussive instruments 7-8 hours in a row.
So what's the plan now? You want to limit the hours of the day they can do this? You limit the locations? How do you solve the problem?
So we introduced an ordinance a year ago that was much broader. And it touched every type of street musician. And after talking with the street performer community and some of their attorneys, they have attorneys, by the way, it became clear we were, I think, trying to swat a fly with a nuclear bomb. And the intent here is not to take music off the streets of Chicago. It is a part of our cultural fabric for sure.
Yep.
We're talking very specifically about folks whose performance includes nonstop percussion in violation of the city's noise ordinance that already exists. We have decibel limits that are allowed for good reason. And then those folks who decide to crank up to 10 the amplifier on the sidewalk.
Do they do that with the buckets?
With the buckets. No. They do that with electric guitars and these sorts of things.
But that is a good idea.
Just point that out there.
Yeah. Watch.
The
tomorrow now we're going to have amplified buckets.
Riley.
Yeah, thanks. But, you know, we narrowed the ordinance to focus on those two things. So this does not hurt the person who's playing the acoustic guitar or the person who's playing the cello or the violin, and those people exist.
Sure.
I did that when I was in high school. On the street.
I think it's wonderful. But what we're looking to do is limit the hours to the times of day, actually, when the most people are on the street. During the lunch hours, between 11 and 1 o'clock, that's when most of the performers' customers are on the sidewalks.
Mm-hmm.
And then the evening commute. Huge volumes of pedestrians walking by these folks.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're also dual tracking this and trying to get them additional platform space at the CTA. That's how New York City handles their street performers. They have them in their stations, in their subway stations. That's where they belong. And frankly, that's where the performers want to be.
With all the people.
They get new customers every 2 minutes.
Right.
And so they love that idea, the volume.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to get creative. The purpose here is not to hurt they're performers. We don't want to economically impair them, but there has to be a balance. People need to be productive in their offices. People need to be able to enjoy their homes. And this is a serious, serious impediment.
Again, it has to do with the fact that the demographics have shifted downtown. It used to be at 5 o'clock, the Bucket Boys would pack up. No one was down here.
Right.
Now, especially in the summer, with the Riverwalk and everywhere else, there are so many people downtown
everywhere.
That they're like, hey, double shift.
We're a 24-hour destination now.
Right.
And you're right. 15 years ago, that was not the case.
Alderman Riley, we're running out of time here. Sure. I do want to ask you about this new restaurant taxes proposed. Springfield's looking at it. It looked like it was picking up a lot of steam. They're going to broaden the boundaries from, it's really downtown in your district now, stems over to Lincoln Park, but they wanted to go all the way to Irving Park and then all the way to 55th Street east on the east part of the city and even, you know, pretty big boundaries here into Western Avenue. The mayor has just come out and said she doesn't like it because she thinks it's going to kill small businesses, people who are mom-and-pop restaurateurs on the north side, on the south side. Mm-hmm. This is not good for them.
I agree with the mayor 150%. She's right. Downtown has been burdened by that tax for a long time. The idea of extending that into the neighborhoods is a really, really big mistake. And if you look at the revenue it generates, it's not a lot of extra revenue coming out of the neighborhoods. And frankly, businesses that are operating in the neighborhoods have thinner margins than the businesses downtown do in some cases. So every little bit of tax hurts those folks disproportionately. I think that was the right move by the mayor to reject that. I think McCormick Place will need to get creative and find a different way to fund the bonds for their project. But small business owners in Chicago have taken a beating. And I think it's great that Mayor Lightfoot's standing up for them.
And you hear that the margins in businesses for like restaurants for smaller owners, you're not talking about big and time investors. You're talking about mom and pop kind of restaurants. The margins are pretty small.
3% margins. I mean, that's tight. And so, every tax really cuts into that. So I think she made the right choice.
Alderman Riley. Good to see you, as always, the official alderman for the Rokan Show with Anna DeVellantis, President Pro Tem Riley.
Thank you. Thanks for bringing your buckets, too.
That was awesome. Next time, different instrument, okay? Thank you. We've got coming up the stories that matter from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom with Kim Gordon, on WGN Radio in 2 minutes.